The following program is sponsored by the friends and partners of Family Face Ministries.
Revolutionary Family with Dino. And today, like usual, we're going to talk to you about some tips, techniques, maybe some methods right out of the Bible to help you change the way you think about family and transform things in your home and just help you have a family revolution inside of your home, inside of your family. And today's topic will be a continuation of the series that we began in January that we're calling God's 10 Principles for Building Strong Families. These 10 principles for building strong families are they're derived from and based on the 10 commandments that God gave to his people. And you know, at Family Face Ministries, we believe that even though the 10 commandments were given thousands of years ago, they're just as significant, just as applicable today as when Moses received them from God up on the mountain. Because of that, we're spending time going through each of these 10 commandments individually and the values that they bring with each one. Every commandment has a principle to it, but each one also has a promise associated with it. So as we travel through the series together, We're going to be looking at the principles, we're going to look at the promises, and see how relevant they are to families today. Today, we're going to look at the second commandment, the second principle, and see how it can build our families and make them stronger. All right, so Exodus chapter 20 is where the Ten Commandments are, and we're looking at verses 4 and 5 today, so let's read it. It says, "You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon their children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me." Okay, so to summarize those verses, verse 4 reminds us, you shall not make any idols in any form or in any image on heaven or on earth. And verse 5 tells us that you must never bow down to an image or worship to anyone or anything in any way other than God himself. So, if I was going to give this episode a title, I think I would call it "Nothing Else Will Do." And as we live out our lives, we have to remember that the one that can truly give us what we're looking for and the one that can transform our homes and transform our personal lives and transform our families is God, not all the substitutes that our world tries to throw at us, right? In the second commandment, we find two things. Actually, there's a command not to idolize anything, and the other part says worship God only. And maybe you're thinking, well, I'm okay, that's pretty straightforward, and I'm not idolizing anything. But maybe as you listen today, something will grab your attention, and the Holy Spirit may reveal something, or maybe some way that you've been idolizing something, or that you've given value to something more than you value God himself. So let's take a little closer look at these two things. Since the first part of the second commandment talks about not idolizing, let's start by kind of defining just what an idol is. An idol is anything that takes a focus off God and puts a focus on something else. In other words, when anything is first in your life and it's not God, then it's an idol, even if it's good. And let's look at what it means to idolize. So in the context of our discussion today, it means to value something more than God. Now, let's just pause and think on that for a second. Our culture is continually changing. And as people begin to look at different things, are we valuing them more than we value God? And just watch how you answer the question. Some people, you know, park their idol down at the marina. Some people park their idol in the garage. Some people store their idol in the safe. You know, believe it or not, thousands of years after this commandment was written, people still struggle with idols within their lives. Now, back in the Bible times, there were primarily three idols that people had. There was Baal, and Baal was predominantly the god of sex. And there was Mammon, who was the god of, we all know this one probably, money. And then there was Molech, and Molech was the god of violence. And a lot of really horrific, violent things were done in Molech's name. And so mankind's always sort of been down through civilization making idols and fashioning idols because people love to idolize things. And so now fast forward to today, 2025, and we may not have metal statues and images that we worship, but we do have many other things that we worship. We maybe don't worship objects that are made of metal or stone or other materials like that so much, but watch out. We need to be aware in our minds that it's possible to worship other images in our minds. Images of success, images of sensuality, and images of wealth, images of sex. We need to realize that we live in a society that does have idols. So today, as we talk through it, I realize that as a father myself, my heart goes out to parents today. It's difficult to raise your children in a society where everyone is saying you should value these things. And, you know, I'm talking about the things that are in direct contrast to God and are the opposite of God and what he is and what his nature is. And honestly, most of society doesn't even have the slightest little problem thinking and telling you that it's okay to value those things above God. But if you're listening today, I salute you as a parent, because if you're listening, it means you care about building a strong family. And you care about raising children of character. Kids that are set apart from the rest of the world, and your challenge is going to be imparting to them the things that are really important, the things that line up with what God says are important. Now, take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 15 through 19. It's titled in my Bible, in the translation I have, the New King James, "Beware of Idolatry." And it says this: "Take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or a female, or the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed, lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun, the moon, the stars, all the host of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage." Okay, do you notice how it starts out? It says, take careful heed to yourselves. Today, you know, it's kind of funny. We wear our idols on our t-shirts. People proudly proclaim what they're committed to. But God says, don't idolize anything or anyone. And let's, you know, talk about some other reasons why you shouldn't do that. After, because God told us not to, comes this. If you do that and you begin to build idols in your life that you worship, idols will disappoint you every time. Idols will disappoint you. They always promise more than they can deliver, right? In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 14, the Bible says, every metalsmith is put to shame by an image, for his molded image is falsehood, and there is no breath in them. They are false, and they are lifeless. Everywhere we go, and everywhere we look, we see all kinds of things that the world is trying to influence us into becoming an idol in our lives. TV advertisements tell us if we, you know, should buy their, if we buy their product, we'll be more popular or influential or beautiful. If we drink this drink, we'll look better or we'll be a really cool person. And we're presented with all these images, and we're enticed into thinking that if we chase after that image, it's going to make us a better person somehow. This is probably showing my age, but I remember the toothpaste commercials that advertised sex appeal. Like, if I brush my teeth with this toothpaste, I'm going to be irresistible. So I got to run out and I got to get me some of that toothpaste, right? And really, we're just bombarded continually with these messages and these images that suggest that, you know, or they suggest what we should go after, what we should value. But you know what? You'll always be disappointed if you believe that. They always promise more than they're able to deliver. But not God. When God makes a promise, he delivers every time. And he may not give us what we want in every situation, right? He's not a genie in a bottle or some supernatural vending machine where we just pray some prayer and out comes what we want. But he's faithful to his promises every time, no exceptions. So another reason why we shouldn't get caught up in idolatry is because idols will disappoint you. Okay, everybody good? All right, so the next reason we shouldn't worship images is that idols will end up dominating you. Let's look at Psalm 115. In verse 4, it begins to talk about idols, and then in verse 8 it says, those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. In other words, watch out what you allow to become your focus or what you make your focus, right? What you focus on, what you worship, it will dominate you. It will eventually control you, and you'll end up becoming more and more like what you worship. It can end up literally controlling your life. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 2 says, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. The NIV translation says it this way, you know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. So think about that. I want you to really hear what that said. Influenced and led astray. There are two things that happen when we idolize something. If we value an image more than we value a God. Value our God. First, this. It will begin to influence you and control you. And today, we don't use the word idol a bunch, but we do use the word addiction. I think we all know that one. People become addicted to work. They become addicted to sex. They become addicted to the news or social media or gambling or, you know, scrolling on their phones. Many things. Alcohol, drugs, sure. People say it all the time. I can quit anytime I want to, right? How many of you have heard that? Well, let me ask you this. Why don't you quit then? Because it will eventually dominate you. And it will distract you from what God really has planned for your life. I wonder how many of us at some point in our lives had God speak to us in a very deep and very intimate way about how much he loves us and that he has a very specific plan for our lives. But then, somewhere along the way, we became distracted or dominated or controlled by something else that led us away from the plan and from God himself. Think about that. And if we allow it, idols, addictions, worshiping images other than God will lead us astray, and we can lose our perspective about what God wants for us, what he wants us to do, and what he wants us to be. Think about how many people have been lured away from living their life for Jesus Christ. I think about that a lot. Because of idols and things that people get caught up in and addicted to, how many people have been neglecting their families, maybe at a critical time in their children's lives? I even fell for it, and it almost wrecked my marriage. The thought that I had to work more to get more so I could provide better for my family. I took on a second career and left Jody home with 5 kids. One of them, a newborn baby, our youngest, Nico. And I got caught up in that lie, and finally I heard Jody, and I heard from God that my priorities were way out of alignment. And thank God I woke up, because it was absolutely dominating me, and it was just tearing our family apart. And think about another way too. How about people that decide they'll compromise their integrity for the promise of fame or success, right? Fame can be an idol. Maybe for the chance to be famous, they stop believing what God says to do, and they say, it's not really a lie. It's just a little untruth, or, you know, I could cheat a little bit. No one will know, and it'll be okay. It always takes you too far, and in the end, if you do that, if you compromise your integrity, it will dominate you, and for the sake of fame and fortune. How many people have sacrificed their convictions just for a chance at being famous? It's just crazy. And another thing that idols can do is distort you. If you are not watchful, an idol can change you so much that you won't even be the same person. They can actually warp you, because you lose the uniqueness that God gave you. Because again, you become like what you value the most. A lot of times, we shape idols into our lives and they end up shaping us. So we need to do like the Bible says and take close heed. Pay attention. Be watchful. Because the things that you chase after that are more important than God in your life are the things that will distort you, draw you away, cause you to miss out on what God has in store for you. So don't let idols reshape you into something God never intended you to be, because you will become like whatever you put first in your life. And that position needs to be reserved for God and for God only. We could see a great illustration of this in the story of the rich young ruler in the Bible. You know the story I'm talking about. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus with the question, what do I need to do to have eternal life? Jesus tells him, go and sell everything you own and give the proceeds to the poor and come and follow me. Now, one interesting thing about this story is that I don't see really any other time in the Bible where Jesus told someone else to do that. So it made me wonder, why did he only say it to this man? And it seems to me the answer is he did it because Jesus knew exactly what the idol was in this guy's life. He knew that young ruler prized his bank account higher than anything. And in usual form, Jesus goes straight to the heart and straight to the issue and begins to confront it. And of course, the rich young ruler decided in his mind that it wasn't worth giving up everything. It wasn't worth the cost to him. And very sadly, he went away and did not follow Jesus. So let's ask ourselves the question, is there something in our lives that we need to give up, that we're hanging on to? What is it in our lives that we're holding on to that's preventing us from being everything that God wants us to be? Individuals today are caught up in chasing after positions, possessions, chasing after sex, and all the things that they're chasing after and all the things that they're valuing above God are causing them to miss out on what God has for them, missing out on the reason that he created them, the purpose that God has for their lives, for their families. People miss it if they chase after those things and let idols ruin their lives. And like the young ruler, they say, well, I don't want to let go of that relationship, or I don't want to move on from this career. It's okay to compromise in my integrity, or, you know, I can quit this anytime. I don't need to quit now. I think in this commandment, God's saying, drop it. Let go of it now. He knows what's good for us, and he knows those things will only ever disappoint. And he gives us instruction because he doesn't want us to miss out on all he has planned for us, right? I'm always amazed when I stop and I think about the things that people will idolize and worship above God. Just going over the experiences and relationships and ministry over the years in my head, we've come across people who worship trees, crystals, nature, animals, pyramids, good luck charms, the stars, even intellect, right? Some people we've met actually place getting more educational degrees above worshiping God. I guess it makes them feel important or powerful. But when you talk to these folks about the God of the universe, the living God, they look at you like you're some kind of nut job or something, you know? It's mind-blowing to me that in this world where people profess to be highly educated and so smart, they just don't get it. I mean, just look at the beauty of God's creation. I'm sitting here looking out my window right now at God's creation, how he created it, how everything is perfectly suited for our existence. I just took a trip to Phoenix to visit our daughter, Selena, and while I was there, I had the opportunity to hike up a mountain. And when I got to the top, the view was absolutely incredible. And you know, when I think about how our children were born and how they were knit together in Jody's womb and how beautiful they came out, when I ponder all of those things that the Lord has done, I have to ask the question, how is it possible people say there is not a God? It's just mind-blowing. All right, let's talk a little about why people are so motivated to have idols and why they will worship images and things above worshiping God Almighty. With an idol, people feel like they can limit God. Small g, right? Limit the God they are worshiping. Like they are somehow in control, right? They say, if I worship this thing, then I can just put it on a shelf. I'm in control, and when and where I want it, I can, you know, let God out of the box. So people love this idea, and they love idols over the living God because they can control them. They feel like they can control exactly how much it plays into their lives. Also, when people idolize something, it's an attempt to reduce the power and size of the God in their lives. Again, small g, right? Kind of like the opposite of Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where God said, "Let us make man in our image." Now people are saying, "Let us make God in our image." Think about that in the world today. That's exactly what's happening. People try to make God like them, so they can determine how much power he has in their lives. People will create a version, right? I'm holding up my fingers like in quotes here, of God that somehow allows them to be whatever they are at the moment. It allows them to be immoral, unfaithful, dishonest, and they go ahead and they do this so they can say, "Well, you know, my God, what I believe says it's okay for me to do this." So, people prefer to worship those things over God because they can reduce the power and the size of the God with a small g in their lives. They don't really change themselves. They change their theology to match their situation, right? They change their God, small g, and say, "Hey, my God says I can do this. You believe what you want to believe, and I'll believe what I want to believe." It's all relative to them. And all it really boils down to is that they're creating the God that they want. And another reason I think that people can't help but worship idols is that they want to be in control. They want to control God. When there's an idol, the person doing the worshiping has more control than the one being worshiped. But we all know as Christians that no one should have more control in your life than God himself. When we surrender our lives to following Christ, when we submit to his lordship, nothing is more important. Jesus said, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Let him deny himself. So let me wrap things up here by asking you a question. What are you chasing after? As the founder of Family Face Ministries, as your friend, as a minister of the good news, I'm telling you, nothing else will do besides the God of the universe, the great I am. Nothing else will do. Any substitute, any alternative, any idol will disappoint you every time. And you may miss out on the best that God has for you. And we don't want that for our families. We want the best for our families. And God wants you to have his best too. Serve God with everything you have. Don't hold anything back. Your marriage will be stronger for it. Your family will be stronger for it. So, there you have it. Principle number two for building a strong family, the second commandment: you shall not bow down to any image. Nothing else will do besides God. Thanks for listening, everyone. If this was a blessing to you, give us a like, share it with someone you love, and maybe subscribe so you get notified when we have a new episode for you to listen to. And again, this is Dino on the Revolutionary Family. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
At Family Face Ministries, our mission is to restore the face of the family. That means equipping families with the teaching and the tools that they need to succeed. You can support that mission with either a one-time gift or by becoming a recurring monthly partner. Your gift today will help keep families together. To give, visit familyfaceministries.org/give or call us at 877-336-6540.